From the Honeycrisp apple to cotton candy grapes to the flavor bomb tomato, branded produce is having a moment right now. Kenny Malone from our Planet Money podcast teamed up with Dan Pashman from the Sporkful Food podcast to find out why.
This is exciting, Kenny. Can we just stop and...
Let's behold.
We're looking at a field of tomato plants at an experimental farm in New Jersey. Are these Scarlet Sunrise plants zero? Like, this is the birthplace.
Yes.
Tom Orton is a retired Rutgers agriculture professor.
And the Scarlet Sunrise is a new kind of grape tomato he started to create more than 10 years ago with his colleague, Pete Nietzsche.
I noticed in the field there was one cherry tomato called Isis Candy.
Isis Candy was sweet. The color was a mix of red and yellow.
We call it a bicolor.
But
the Isis Candy also cracked a lot.
So bad as a grocery store tomato.
But they thought, what if they crossed that sweet bicolor cherry with a non-cracking grape tomato?
We figured people could identify it in the marketplace and therefore connect the flavor with the appearance, and there'd be repeat purchases of specifically this product.
Old public land-grant universities, like Rutgers, have a mandate to help local farmers by doing things like cultivating foods that farmers can sell for more money.
And over the past 50 years, laws have also changed to allow universities to own and profit off of plant genetics as well.
The Honeycrisp apple, that's made more than $20 million for the University of Minnesota.
The Cosmic Crisp apple, that's made more than $30 million for Washington State University.
The market is going toward these crazy amount of new options in each product category.
Cornell agricultural economist Miguel Gomez says part of this has to do with a classic economic pitfall known as the commodity trap.
Yeah, if you grow a commodity like, say, soybeans, you compete by trying to be the cheapest, which is a tough way to make a living.
But if growers can somehow make their products special, they can break free and actually charge more for it.
To a point. Eventually, there can be so many crispy apples that they start to all seem the same.
You know, there is what we call the cost of searching for consumers. You know, when you have too many options, it becomes a burden to consumers.
I tried to buy almond butter a few weeks ago, and I almost had a panic attack in the aisle.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I'm not
yeah.
allergic to almond butter. I'm allergic to the number of almond butter. Yes.
Yes, exactly.
But tomatoes? Gomez thinks the branded tomato market is not yet saturated.
Good news for our Rutgers scientists, Pete Orton and Tom Nietzsche.
Yeah, so you guys can have these.
Oh, wow. All right. Orton hands us some little yellow and red tomatoes, the telltale Scarlet Sunrise bicolor.
All right, right? Oh my gosh.
There's a lot in a little package.
Yeah.
This is not too hard. It's got a bit of a meatiness that's very pleasant, which a good tomato should have, but it still sort of yields to the bite. It's soft and tender, and it's got that sweetness and acidity.
That's why he does a food podcast.
Now, Rutgers will share about 35% of the Scarlet Sunrise revenue with Orton and Nietzsche.
But as it exists now, the Scarlet Sunrise is still pretty expensive to grow. It's likely just a specialty tomato for local growers.
So it may not yet be part of the national flood of tomatoes with names like Sugar Bombs or Flavor Bombs or Sprinkles.
Kenny Malone.
Or Angel Sweets.
That's Dan Pashman.
They're Cherubs.
NPR News.
And Cloud Nines.
They get it, Dan.